Welcome to Cottage Talk Extra Time. I'm Russ Goldman, the co-host, and with me today will be David Hulley, Yanis Jeanneth, and Mike Gregg. This episode will be looking back at the 3-1 victory for Fulham against QPR at Loftus Road on Saturday. We have much to get through. It looks like one of my co-hosts is on the line with me, Mr. Hulley. How are you doing?
Hello, Russ. I believe you're freezing today, are you?
I am very cold. It is officially minus 12 degrees Fahrenheit. I believe that's minus 25 Celsius, David.
Yeah, no, we gave up using Fahrenheit years ago. We use Celsius now. So, yeah, you have to do a conversion. What was it? Times 9 over 5 or something, minus 32 or something like that anyway. But, yeah, I know what you mean. If Fahrenheit gets to minus, it's really bad because it's for us in Britain to go below... You know, Celsius is quite cold, really. In the main,
right.
We don't often see really long, you know, long spells. Today, it's about, I think, 5 or 6 Celsius, which is, you know, tropical for you almost. About 41, 42 Fahrenheit, I think.
Right. It's very cold. It's extremely cold. And, you know, I actually have layers on right now while we do the show because I'm just trying to stay warm. But it looks like Mike is with us. I'm going to bring him on the line. Mr. Gregg, how are you doing?
Yeah, really good. And sorry, call the tail end of that. Have you got some snow then or something?
We have some snow. We have extreme cold temperatures here. We are, when I woke up this morning, Mike, we are at minus 12 degrees Fahrenheit, which I believe came out to minus 25 Celsius.
Yeah, well, the UK would stop completely if that happens over here, but I know in America you can cope with it.
Yeah, we're coping. You know, we're okay. You know, we just stay warm and everything's open. Nothing's closed. You know, it's just a very cold day. It's an extremely cold day. So I'm looking forward to doing the show with you. You are at the game, and I look forward to getting your view. Yanis, I just saw, should be joining us shortly, and of course we've got David on the line. And, Mike, I'm going to start with you because you were at the match. Just share with me your opening thoughts of what you watched yesterday.
It was a pretty cold and wet day, but I have to say that the performance cheered us all up, kept us warm, and it was we all came away very satisfied, you know, got one over again on the rivals, and all in all, a great performance. Can't fault any of the players at all, and Jokanović got his tactics right, and there was a real buzz coming out of the ground, you know, lots of confidence and a bit of reflection really on the sort of, you know, just a pity we didn't get him earlier, but still work in progress, but you know, hopefully we can push on now and finish the end of the season with a good another 7 or 8 wins and a bit of momentum into next season.
Absolutely, Mike. And listen, I really look forward to going through this with you. It looks like Yanis is on the line. Yanis, welcome back to the show. How are you doing?
Hello.
Yanis, I am freezing down here. I blame you for this.
I'll tell you what, there's bloody cold and there's bloody cold. And it's bloody cold here. It's freaking freezing. It's not good. Last night I had to take the dog out at about 11 o'clock, and I was cursing every possible word under the sun. And you know what? I feel sorry for dogs. How on earth do you expect to do a poo in minus 40 degrees weather? I don't know how they do it. I really don't.
I don't know that either, Yanis. Listen, I'm looking forward to going through the show with you. I just got Mike's take. Just his overall thoughts on the match. I want to go to you, and then I'll go to David. What did you make of just an overall view of the match yesterday?
It was a good win. It was a solid performance. The lineup was more or less right. Some good goals, a couple of nice saves from Lonergan against a QPR team that do have experience and do have good players. And I think long-term will be fine. Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank is a manager I do rate. But really, we tore them apart, especially at the last 10 minutes of the first half. It was a bit like the Villa-Liverpool game that I just watched. Liverpool scored 4 goals in 13 minutes, and really QPR, Villa had no answer today, and QPR had no answer to us in that last 10 minutes. It was one-way traffic, really, and we were deserved winners.
I totally agree with that, my friend. All right, David, over to you. Give me your opening thoughts on the match.
Well, thankfully, we were both right in our optimism on Friday when we predicted a win, and we both said 2-1. And although it was quite, we were quite close in saying that. In many other ways, we were a long way from it because it could have easily been a lot bigger than that. But I thought it'd be a tight game, and I said that we need to win it in midfield. And I think for the first half an hour, it was quite a tight match, really. But once we got our noses in front, they fell to pieces, a bit like the home match in a way, really. Especially on that, you know, that first half when we got the 3 goals, of course, at the Cottage. But it was tight initially, but that 10-minute spell before half-time killed it. You know, they were lucky that half-time came at that point, I think, really, prevent them from further damage. Second half, it was a little bit more cagey, perhaps. We still had our chances, but, you know, we took our foot off the gas a little bit because we were comfortably in front. And just a slight annoyance that, obviously, we conceded the damn goal near the end. I'm sure everyone was a little bit annoyed by that, despite the excellent performance overall. But, you know, you can't be too upset. We knew a win was coming sooner or later because things were getting better, and we hoped it would be yesterday. And you know, against the ha-has, you know, it makes it all that much sweeter, doesn't it?
It totally does, David. You know, beating them twice in the same year is obviously a very good thing. And, you know, I was thrilled with the victory. I was thrilled by the performance. There's so much good to come from this. But before we go in and break down the match into the two halves, Mike, I'm going to start with you. What I'm going to do first, I'm going to read the reaction that's actually on the Fulham website from Slavisa Jokanovic, because one of the things I want to ask you about, because Dave and I have been going back and forth, I've been trying to figure this one out, and hopefully you can help us with this as well. The 3-5-2. I definitely want to get your thoughts on, was it a 3-5-2 from the beginning? I believe you tweeted out that it changed. I've seen others that said it was from the beginning. So I'm still confused by it, but I want to get your overall take of the formation, how it worked, but I want to read to you the reaction from Slavisa, because he does talk about the 3-5-2, and then I want to get your thoughts on the formation. Again, this is right on the Fulham website, head coach reaction. This is from Slavisa Jokanovic. Quote, we put in some brilliant performances to win the match. The only disappointing thing that was at the end when we conceded, so didn't keep a clean sheet. We can do better, but at the end I can be happy for my players and our supporters. It's only one game, so it's important to keep working hard and try to win the games in front of us. Fulham, though, have little time to bask in their glory. A rearranged away trip to Blackburn Rovers awaits on Tuesday night as the Whites look to claw their way up the table. Nothing is easy, Jokanovic said. We're working hard in training, and at the end of it, we got a present today. It's good for our confidence, and we're a good football team, which is a positive. We'll enjoy this for a few hours and then look at what's in front of us. This team can score goals. They did before I arrived here, but we need to find the balance to be more solid in defense. Fulham had a clear game plan for the match. The Whites deployed 3 at the back and dominated from off back by a vocal traveling army. We do a lot of homework, continued Jokanovic. My obligation is to try and find a weakness in the opposition. The away fans made a difference. We had a lot of support, which is important for us. They pushed us, and they enjoyed it today. After suffering without winning, it's a great day for us. And then he keeps going on. But I want to get your thoughts, Mike, on the reaction from Slavisa and also this talk about the 3-5-2.
Well, I'll start with a 3-5-2. So we were sitting behind the team as they kicked off, and I'm always someone who looks at how they're lining up, even how they're warming up sometimes. And for me, it was a flat back 4. Amabretta was right over on the left. You know, Byrne was in the sort of left side, and Medel was, you know, normal place for a right-sided centre back as well. And Fredericks was there. You know, I mean, I've watched the first 5 minutes again. up to the substitution. And I remember that first 5 minutes. They get the cross in, there's a header, and another attack as well. And I just wonder whether the LVC injury just made them change their mind and go to the three at the back. I don't believe they started that way. And the other thing is, if you're going to play a left-sided wing-back, is LVC going to be your choice, really? You know, it's something we've spoken about on other shows, and what Watford fans have said is that he likes to change formations. And, you know, he's got the guys in the sky looking down and analysing what's going on and team selections they're playing against. So I think it was an enforced change, if you like, but one that obviously worked. And his response after the game summed up everyone else. I thought we did play some really good football. I spoke to my old man who watched the game on TV, and it's something I've said as well. We've been passing the ball from player to player, sort of like checkers, that type of thing, and we've not been playing the ball on the ground, a pass through for someone to run onto. But look at the first goal. Look at the balls played through to Fredericks, even Garber at times as well. And we've started playing that way. And for me, that's a big improvement. So we're playing into space for people to run onto instead of, you know, I pass it you, you pass it back to me, and this type of thing. And, you know, so we're gambling a bit more going forward. And I was pleased to see that. So, yeah, really happy we played 3-5-2. Contrary to what David and me are arguing about, whether it's actually a narrow pitch or not, it certainly feels narrow, and I think it was the right thing to do.
Okay, very good. David, I'm going to go to you because you told me off air you and Mike have been arguing about which pitch is smaller, but I want to get your take on the 3-5-2 and the reaction from Slavica.
We're not arguing that much. Mike's going to realise I'm right soon and concede, I'm sure of it. But what was my take on the formation? When Fulham tweeted out the lineup, the way they tweeted it, they denoted it as a 4-4-2 because they showed the back four and then the midfield four. So after Amabieta, they named Kearney, I think O'Hara, Parker, and LVC. So they listed it as a 4-4-2. So when Sky started, and this is obviously what you saw as well, Russ, with the graphics,
right.
The graphics showed a 3-5-2. And I thought, that can't be right. I mean, my assumption was that Sky saw the fact that we was playing Maddell and Byrne and Amabieta and assumed we were playing a 3-5-2 on the basis they don't realise perhaps that Amabieta can play at left back. And as Mike said, why on earth would you start a 3-5-2 with LVC at left wing back when you've got Kearney, who's much more suited to the role? But, you know, as I said to you before, when we had the last debate about formation, unless you're at the match and you're sitting there behind the goal, it's very, very hard sitting in the stand. And this is why I think Gentleman Jim and Sean Davis got it wrong previously, because you don't quite get the same angle there from that picture, like the TV gantry one. So I'm not sure what happened exactly, but certainly after Garbett came on, we went to 3-5-2. And I've got to say that if it was an accident, it was a good accident. I'm unfortunate that LVC got injured, obviously. But
right.
Yeah, the right thing happened in the end. And if this is what it took for Slavica to realise that 3-5-2 is our formation, then so be it. Because at the end of the day, as I say, I don't wish any bad on LVC, but I'd much rather see Garbett in that position than LVC. We've already expressed our kind of reservations about LVC playing in a kind of left midfield role anyway. We don't feel like it's suited to him. And I think it's far more suitable having someone there. And, of course, our old friend Jazz Richards wasn't there. And I still haven't fully validated what you said to me yesterday, Russ, about how we always win when Richards doesn't play. I know, obviously, we've beaten QPR twice without Richards. We beat, I think, who else did we beat? I don't know. When Richards went off injured against Reading, we were losing, and then we won. I think, who's the other match we won? Anyway, there were a few. There seems to be a trend that we do better when Richards isn't playing, but I don't think there's conclusive evidence for sure, but I, you know, obviously I'm delighted that we played a 3-5-2. because in the end of the day, it bore out everything I've been going on and on about forever, boring people senseless, that you play, you know, your two strong central midfielders, in this case Parker and O'Hara, and it gave Kearney the space to roam in the hole. And because we had natural width with Fredericks and Garbutt, Kearney had outlets. When we play the inverted wingers or the inverted wide men, you know, LBC comes inside, Kaka comes inside, and Kearney's space just gets crowded out by everyone. But there we had more space. It just worked so much better. We had the width. The three at the back did their job excellently. You know, it just everything was there that needed to be. We still get two up front. We don't have to sacrifice one man up front like when we play 4-5-1. So for me, it was excellent. And I just, you know, I'd be very surprised if he now goes back to 4-4-2, apart from if there's a particular tactical need for it. So it did the right thing for me, and you know, I can't really fault anyone yesterday. Everyone played a great part in the victory, all the players, regardless of their position. Obviously, some people stood out more than others, but they all worked hard, and it was a deserved result.
Okay, very good. Giannis, before I go to you, I want to ask Mike one quick question about Garbutt, because, Mike, I've noticed an improvement from him. You watch him closely. Are you starting to see him coming around? Can you see him having even a bigger role with Fulham the rest of the season?
Well, yeah, he's definitely improved over the last dozen games. And, you know, again, like a bit of a broken record. But you give youngsters, you know, if they're in and out the side, you know, they struggle. And that's what he did at the beginning of the season. We had Husband as well. But since Husband went back, you know, he's had a good run in the side. And probably a bit unlucky to be dropped yesterday. And, you know, we're seeing that in his performances. And he's showing the sort of form and the high regard he's held in, you know, up at Everton. So, and I thought yesterday, you know, he played that role perfectly. And of all the players we have in the squad, if you're going to play wing-backs, then he's naturally, you know, the most suited player to play there. And, okay. Good performance.
Okay, very good. Giannis, over to you. I want to get your thoughts about this discussion we're having about the 3-5-2, and also feel free to share what you think about Luke Garbutt, as I was curious what Mike had thought. Have you seen an improvement in his game as well?
Yes, I have, but I liked the look of him before the season, before he got the injury against Palace. Good coaches keep opponents on the hop. You know, you can send all your scouts out to spy on formations and what have you. And what Jokanović has done is said, look, I'm going to keep you guessing. I'll keep you guessing as well. It was, I thought he had a good game last week against Derby. I was a little surprised to see Michael Maddle get his debut, but I mean, he certainly played well enough. Ecstatic, almost jumped off a building when I saw that Jazz Richards was gone. Christensen, very sorry, went off with that injury. It looks like a repeat of last year's hammy problem, which is a shame. But it was a formation that I think few of us thought might happen, and I think that's good. It looked very attacking from the start, though. That's the thing. I think it gave Kearney a lot more fluidity. Dembele and McCormack yesterday, I thought, had a lot more energy. They looked a lot hungrier in the ball. They looked more interested. And we do need a better players to show up. Having said that, you know what? I thought we were really, really solid at the back. I know that Slavisa will be disappointed about the goal we conceded, but it was still a good thumping. Just as a little side as well, delighted to see Paul Konchesky out again. As Fulham fans, we can't forget what he did for our club, Europa League run. It's still a little bit odd with his hairstyle, but it's good to see him there, and obviously wish him well for the rest of his career.
Okay, excellent. Very good for you to mention that about Paul Konchesky there, Giannis. Okay, very very good analysis on the 3-5-2 situation. Let's now move on and talk about the first half, and I'll just share the key moments. I'm just going to mention the goals, and then you guys can share your thoughts of what you guys saw. So let's start with the 35th minute. We have the goal by McCormack, which is set up beautifully by Tom Kearney. That's followed up only 5 minutes later. Jamie O'Hara cross is headed in the back of the net by Moussa Dembele. So Fulham are at that point had 2-0. Looked like they're going to go in the half up 2-0, which to me would have been great. But they added a third in stoppage time, the second minute of it, with Tom Kenny scoring off of a rebound from a shot by Moussa Dembele that was initiated originally by a pass from Ross McCormack. And Mike, since you were there, I will give you the honor. Share with me your observations of the first half.
Yeah, well, it was, as David mentioned earlier, the first half was fairly even, but we were probably just edging it. I mean, they started okay, and, you know, the LVC injury and the change gave us a chance, I think, to regroup and get going. But once we'd settled down, everyone knew their roles, I never felt in danger, you know, and we were defending our end, and... you know, we certainly have got more solid. I think a lot of it is down to Gray. I'm quite impressed with the fact that Jokanović has kept Gray on the bench with him, and he was up and down all throughout the game. And I think it's important he hasn't been sidelined. So I did mention to someone yesterday, you know, Jokanović and all his guys, you know, can get us attacking and passing well, but you need someone there just to put their hand up at times and say, let's not forget about the defence. And, you know, that can be seen. You know, it's a balance. Ambrea has come in last two games. If he'd played like he has done in previous times, then I don't think any one of us would have said, you know, he didn't deserve a place. You know, he made one rash pass yesterday for Burnley in the second half. But, no, it was a good, solid 30 minutes, and we were passing the ball well, getting not necessarily clear-cut chances, but, you know, running into space, getting the crosses in. But then beautiful pass by Kearney, and McCormick puts it away, and the fans pretty much from that moment on were, you know, hardly sat down at all. And Dembele, who I thought had a really good game, but good first half as well. His movement, I think you're right in saying that both him and McCormick seemed to want it yesterday. Last week they were both below par, I thought, but I was pleased for Dembele to score. He does make runs, and the ball doesn't come, but I thought yesterday he was linking up well. That triangle of Kearney, Dembele and McCormick was pretty much on fire yesterday. And he was unlucky to get a second one where McCormick, Dembele, you know, linked up well, and the shot at the post, and Kearney's there to put it in. So 3-0, we're ecstatic. And, you know, we didn't want the half to end. Because you know, we would, another 10 minutes, we would have got another couple, I'm pretty sure. And half-time, you know, stopped the rout, really. But excellent half, and, yeah, really buzzing. And the QPR fans were very quiet.
Okay, very good, Mike. Before I go to my other two co-hosts, I want to focus more on the defense, because one of the things that was noticeable to me, listen, I'm watching it on a TV screen, so it's different with you being there. I want to talk about Maddle, because he looked very assured of himself. You already talked about him, Morbieta, and we can also discuss Dan Byrne. But I want to get your thoughts on him, because for a debut performance, I thought he played very well.
Yeah, I mean, when you talk about the defence, I think one of the things we've got to mention is that every one of those players is defending now. I mean, Parker, in the first half, threw himself at a ball, I think it was for a free kick, and he did the same in the second half. And O'Hara, you know, both these guys who we can criticise, you know, for their mobility or fitness, whatever, they worked their socks off in midfield yesterday, and I'll talk about that later. But, Medel, making his debut, asked to change slightly, probably from pre-match plans. And he's not very tall, looks composed. I'm reluctant to say he's like Hughes, but he seems to anticipate the ball well and intercepts it, keeps through his man. He is a bit slight and is a bit small. He's going to struggle against the bigger men. But what impressed me most by him was just purely his composure. There are a couple of times he's got... you know, two men close to him, and he doesn't panic and looks to find a Fulham player. So a very positive debut. and let's see how he goes before we start going overboard on him, though.
I hear you, Mike. Okay. Giannis, over to you. What are your observations from the first half?
It was even the first half an hour, but I thought that, I mean, we had good possession. I thought it was a matter of time before we got we took the lead. The pass by Kearney to McCormack for the goal is as good a pass as you're going to see all year. It was absolutely brilliant, and Mac read it very, very well. Excellent finish. The second goal was a superb cross, O'Hara. I mean, Dembele just had a little jump and it's in. That was a superb goal. And then the third goal went in, and again, a nice setup. And we could have had a fourth, actually, in deep into the injury time. And by that time, QPR are just dumbstruck. They're not sure what's going on. And we'd kept it very tight defensively as well, which was great. And Slavisa's right. You know, before he came on board, we scored a lot of goals and we were the top goal scorer in the division. But we leaked like a sieve. And he's coming in, he's worked obviously very hard. And echoing what Mike said, Michael Maddle had a very, very good game. He is very composed. I think the way he reads the play is more impressive to me. He was really beaten. And he was communicating a lot, certainly with the midfielders in the middle. And I was very, very impressed. And you know what? You've got to give big marks out of 10 to Slavisa, because we'd all about a laugh a couple of weeks ago if you told us that, you know, Amavieta would be recalled from Middlesbrough. He'd go straight from the starting lineup, have a fantastic game against Derby, and have another really good game yesterday. But it has worked. And good for him. That's where the coach deserves an awful lot of credit. But the first half was good, and then the three goals just, I think, ended the game as a contest.
Okay, Giannis, before I go to David, I, since you were talking about Amorebieta, it's something that David and I will be talking about on the show tomorrow. He lives on the edge, very physical. Do you get nervous watching him that maybe he will be a little bit reckless? Because I get that feeling, but I think that's also part of what makes him successful is that he is very aggressive.
I wouldn't change a thing. He was the same way in Spain. He's the same way when he plays for Venezuela. He's a bit of a nutter. You know, he goes into challenges he doesn't have any right to go into. Occasionally they're kamikaze. Slavisa can work with him in terms of being a little bit more circumspect and stoic in terms of timing the challenges and where to make the challenges. But I, at his age and with his experience, I wouldn't change a thing that he does. That's him. And if he's able to do the other things really, really well, I think Fulham fans can certainly make allowances for it.
Okay. Very interesting. Like I mentioned, we'll be talking about that on the preview for the Blackburn match. I want to talk to David in more detail about Amorebieta, but I wanted your thoughts on it, Giannis. Thank you.
Thank you,
David,
Mikey.
Over to you. What are your observations of the first half?
Well, it's quite difficult really to add much to that because, you know, it's been detailed already very well by Mike and Giannis. I just think a couple of things I picked up on weren't directly related to the first half as such, but, one was because Mike said the QPR fans were very quiet. In fact, that was probably because the Fulham fans were making so much noise, because I'm sure as you saw on the TV, there was actually significant booing every time the QPR players were on the ball just before half-time.
Yep.
And when they went off. Their fans were clearly less than pleased with them. And I thought at first, what's all this booing, you know? And it's just the fans really were pissed off, to put it, you know, that's the only term to use. And they really were resoundingly booed off. The other thing you mentioned, you're talking about people in the back room and on the coaching side of things. One thing I did find interesting talking about, obviously, Stuart Gray being retained was, and you wouldn't have seen this, Russ, I guess, but on the Football League show, our friend Alan Kirbishley was on last night, and obviously it was on again this morning, repeated this morning, and he was named on the Football League show as being ex-Fulham technical director or something along those lines.
Okay.
So, you know, without anyone actually, I'm sure you may have seen it on Twitter, without anyone actually announcing anything, apparently he's no longer with us. But, you know, he was never really announced that he was there. He was just kind of, we assumed he'd gone before, but he was still there in the background. And now that Slavisa's here, it appears that he has been let go. But as I say, there's been no announcement from the club officially about these things. So I just found that something interesting as a side from what, when we're talking about who's on the who's been sitting on the bench lately.
No, very interesting there, David. I was not aware of that. It's funny because I was hoping I could try to watch that, but I was not able to access it through the internet. I'll just leave it at that. But I was actually curious about the Football League show from last night, and again, like you mentioned, aired this morning. All right, David, before we move to the second half, I actually have some halftime stats. I want to get your thoughts on them because I want to see if they match up with what you watched. So I'll go through them with you, and you tell me what you think. Possession Fulham had 63.9% to 36.1% for QPR. Total shots Fulham had 9 to 4 for QPR. On target Fulham had 6 to 1 for QPR. I think this is a stat that really stands out to me. Passing accuracy, 74% for Fulham, 51% for QPR. Corners were in favor of QPR 5 to 2. Key passes Fulham were ahead 8 to 2. Crosses, you had QPR ahead at 10 to 6. These are two stats, defensive stats, that are very interesting. I'll be curious if what you see in these two, David. Duels won, 34 to 25 in favor of Fulham. Aerial duels won, 15 to 10 in favor of Fulham. David, what are your thoughts of the halftime stats? Do they match up with what you watched?
Well, this is one occasion when my rule of thumb of looking at the corners didn't apply, because it did, the corners were an anomaly this time, because we had that little spell, as you remember, where we conceded several corners in a row. We conceded a corner and we put it out again for corner. Because otherwise the stats do bear out really the overall trend of the first half. The fact, you know, the shots on target, it wasn't a fluke. We weren't winning 3-0 because we'd only had 3 shots and they were on target and they'd had loads of shots. They didn't really trouble us. I think there was one, you know, very early on comfortable header, wasn't there, that Lonergan was able just to catch easily, and that was probably their shot on target for the half, I think, if I remember rightly. Clearly, they were second best in everything. I say the corners was an anomaly in this occasion, because we just, you know, a couple of the corners we gave away were infuriating. I remember Maddle trying to put the ball out for a throw, and he put it out for a corner, and I was hoping it wouldn't come back and bite us on the bum. That used to be something that was not much annoyed me with him, but Andy Melville used to be very good at that in the old days, that he used to get a lot of stick unfairly as well, but he did often used to put the ball out for a corner when you would have hoped he could have got it out for a throw-in. But yeah, there was a couple of corners were conceded unnecessarily, but really, you know, we were winning stuff. We were strong in the air. Byrne and Amabrieta very strong in the air. Maddle equally strong, really, considering his fairly slight build by comparison, especially when you see him next to Dan Byrne. Midfield, you know, we were running the show. I said on Friday, you know, when we looked at how the two teams play, this is where we can win the game. We can control the game from the midfield, and we did.
And, absolutely.
You know, once we got our passing going and through balls and everything else, you saw what happened, how devastating we were. And I believe that's testament to the shape that we played and the formation that we played. As I said, with the wider players staying wide, the two central midfielders, and then Kenny having all that space in the middle where he can, you know, move around in, feed the ball out wide, or feed the ball to the strikers. You can see what I'm trying to say otherwise. When we play these inverted wingers coming inside, they end up crowding Kenny out, and he has no real space to play in. But we were creating so much space for ourselves there, really. And we were zipping around as well. We had a bit of pace and intensity. So I don't think you can be surprised by any of those stats, really. As I say, the corners can be explained by that little spell we had when it was probably safety first rather than, you know, trying a half clearance that was going to put us into danger. But, you know, totally dominated the first half. And so much of that really was, you know, the second half of the first half. First half, just played it cagey, just made sure we got ourselves settled into the game, and then when the chances came along to tear them apart, we did so, and with great effect. And, you know, as I said, and Mike said, half-time came almost at the wrong time for us. We probably would have destroyed them had there not been a half-time break then.
Okay, very good, David. And this is a case, and I'm glad that I could really pull out these halftime stats, where I think they really show what's going on. You talked about the only anomaly really is the corners, but everything else really does show itself. And, Mike, I want to go to you because we've talked about stats so many times now. And I remember you mentioning that a key stat for you is passing accuracy. You said, I believe you said you want it to be over 70%. And two stats that actually I've been really looking at recently have been duels won and irritable duels won, because I want to see improvement. And, Mike, we saw improvement of that just in the first half. What are your thoughts overall in the halftime stats and some of these stats that I'm pointing out?
Yeah, well, I mean, David's covered most of it. And, the aerial stats, you know, bringing Amberetta in is giving us, you know, Ream, we've said, doesn't really win headers. And, you know, Stearman is slightly different player. But, you know, Amberetta, he's going to throw himself at these things. And having him and Byrne around, even in an attacking way at free kicks, is improving us now. You know, we've got something more to aim at. So, definitely. We were winning all over the pitch yesterday, and those stats show that completely. And not to jump too far, but our passing accuracy, you know, again, 600, I think it was 650-odd passes at the end of the game. Now, that is a lot. And to have 70-odd percentage as a completion is bloody good.
Okay, very good there, Mike. Giannis, over to you. What stands out to you from those halftime stats before we move to the second half?
Number of passes and possession. You can't do anything unless you have the ball. And I think if we continue in this vein in terms of the passing, we're going to wear teams down on bigger fields and in bigger games. And you're beginning to see the imprint of Slavisa there, you know, in terms of the importance of possession, and that when we lose possession, make sure that we've got the right kind of shape and that we're not sixes and sevens. Good example of the change defensively as well, I've noticed, is it doesn't look like we're defending as high, which I've never been a fan of, because you're relying on the pace of players at the back, and we've not exactly ever been blessed at the back in the middle. So, but for me, it was the possession percentages and the number of passes I thought were pretty significant.
Okay, very good there, Giannis. All right, guys, let's move to the second half, and I'm just going to mention a few key moments. There's one controversial moment that I want all three of you to touch on, because it's something that the broadcast was talking a great deal about. I've seen talk about it on social media as well. We'll get to that. But, Mike, I'll go to you first, but I'll just go to the key moments in the second half. There was an opportunity in the 60th minute for Fulham to go up 4-0. Now, there were a few others, but this was a key one. Luke Garbutt, unfortunately, went wide. I thought he should have done better there. Then, of course, we have the goal at the very end in stoppage time by Cherry to make it 3-1, and we lose the clean sheet. But the controversial moment, this is the one I want you guys to really talk about, is Dan Byrne brought down Jamie Mackey, and he only gets a yellow card for it. Mike, I want to go to you. I want to get your overall thoughts on the second half, but I really want your thoughts on this controversial moment in the 66th minute. Did the ref get this right? You know, I want to be honest here. You know, we're Fulham supporters, but I want your honest opinion about this whole situation with Dan Byrne.
Okay, so, yeah, I'll concentrate on that one. It's, I think it was the second or third time in that half where we'd kept the ball for quite a while when the fans were doing the old lay thing, and it ended up going down the left, and you asked Giannis earlier, does Amberetta worry you? Yes, he worries me. You know, when he gets the ball and he's getting chased down, he does have that panic little bit where his passing lets him down. And it let him down then in, you know, I don't blame Byrne. It was a poor pass. He goes in, makes the tackle. Now, from where I was sat at the other end, I could see Medel sort of coming from where I'm sitting. He's coming from the left-hand side, and it looks as if he's coming behind. So my initial reaction was it was quite high up the pitch. It's going to be a yellow. And I also think the ref may have had a word with the linesman through his mic, just to see where our other defender was. So I'd have been upset if it was a red. I mean, I haven't watched the replay of it, I'll be honest. For me, a yellow. It was a yellow from where I was sat. About the rest of the half, it was a professional job. There were a couple of, I thought QPR came out the first 5-10 minutes. They had a couple of chances. They had a free kick as well. and you did feel as if they scored, then it would have made the game very interesting. But again, you know, their free kick, that Parker rushed out, blazed it down, and we just worked so hard, and we actually created more chances, more shots. I thought Dembele had a couple of chances where he laid it off to players like Kearney. You know, after last week having a go at him for that, where he flashed the ball across the goal, you know, I think he learned from that and he was trying to set players up. Garvitz was a right foot shot, so it was always going to struggle a little bit. You know, we had O'Hare had a couple of shots as well. And you just felt if we'd got a fourth quite early on, we would have ended up with five at least. But it wasn't to be. And so, like I said, professional half. Ince came on to try and, you know, rest Parker for a start because he'd worked really hard. And then, you know, just shield the back line and try not to concede. And unfortunately, we concede from a corner. And, you know, it's a bit of a mess defensively. The bloke's on his own. He should really have been closed down or marked. I'll be honest, at the other end of the pitch, the majority of fans were actually taking the mickey out of a QPR fan to our right, who was giving us all a bit of lip, but also having trouble with their stewards. So a lot of us just saw the ball going in the net and all running back, and then they played the goal music. But did we care? I have to be honest, most of us didn't, because we were having so much fun taking the mickey out of this QPR fan. But, yeah, I mean, Heidman's substitution was a weird one. We got a bit messy. So the last 10 minutes was a bit sloppy, but, you know, that's the only negative from the whole game for me, is that last 10 minutes we could have been a bit better and the Heidman sub was a bit odd. But, going back to Dan Byrne, he shouldn't have been sent off in my view.
Okay, very good. David, over to you. I want to get your thoughts on this situation and your review of the second half.
When I saw it on the telly, I thought, red card. I know it wasn't malicious, it wasn't Dan Byrne's fault. He was put in, you know, in trouble by the pass by Amabieta, but Madel was quite sideways to him. He wasn't that close, and also he was only at best level with the QPR player. So the QPR player would have had the most direct run at goal. I'd turn you back to the red card that Fulham got against Juventus when Gira had burst through.
I was actually thinking about Gira. That, David. I was actually thinking about that.
So if the Gira one was a red card, the Dan Byrne one was definitely a red card. I think he was very, very lucky. Maybe, as Mike said, because it was quite a long way up the pitch, he may have got the benefit of doubt of a call from the assistant referee in his earpiece. I think it'd been closer to goal. I don't think it would have saved him, but I was surprised. And, you know, a red card at that point of the game could have really changed the perspective of things. So I think we were very fortunate that that didn't go, because that would have been just absolutely ridiculous, because we were completely dominant in possession. And as I say, we were passing the ball around for fun. And, you know, all the fans were cheering. And then Amabieta puts a terrible pass in and sticks Byrne in trouble. And we could have been a man down. I mean, I don't know how he didn't really give it to Bonchidou when you look at it. When you see it on the TV, where Maddell was and the fact that the QPR player was away and you know, he would have been in front, I think they had to give it. So I'd say we were lucky there. But, you know, sometimes things have gone against us. So let's say on that occasion it went in our favour. Otherwise, as Mike has said, most of the second half was very professional. And I felt that the Heidman substitution was what was the most disruptive thing of the whole game, actually, because we changed to some strange shape and it didn't really work, because we had Heidman and Kearney effectively playing behind McCormack, where Heidman has always looked more comfortable, I think, sitting more centrally in the midfield.
I totally agree, Dave.
And I think we lost. For a few minutes, we did lose our shape a little bit. I don't know if that led to the goal. Again, we conceded an unnecessary corner, really, before that, and he wasn't picked up. And it is frustrating, you know, to give away these late goals. I don't think anyone cared that much, because the match was already won. It was already in the bag. At the first half, we'd shown how we can, you know, put them away, kill them off. But it was just annoying a little bit at the end. But that's something maybe Slavica, I think he was probably using logic before tactics. in trying to rest players ahead of, you know, a busy week of football, whereas tactically, I don't think you really wanted to make any substitutions or change it at all. Logically, you think, well, maybe Parker needs a rest, maybe one of the strikers needs a rest because we're not overburdened with strikers at the moment. So I understand that, but I just think he could have perhaps changed the formation to make us more solid. You know, let Hyman sit in alongside Ince and O'Hara there, and just have Kearney off McCormack at the end. But it was a good second half. As you say, we could have had a couple more goals in it. It was obviously more even than the first half, I think. And I haven't seen the stats, but you're going to probably tell us that in a minute and prove that. But overall, we weren't really in any danger, not at all.
Okay, excellent, David. All right. Giannis, I'll let you have the final word on this controversial situation. It sounds like we have a split here between David and Mike. Where do you fall on the Dan Byrne situation and then your overall view of the second half?
It was a straight red. No, no doubts. I've watched the replay half a dozen times. I'm not convinced Mazel was covering. It was a rash challenge. And if I'm Slavisha, if the ball's on the other foot, and it's one of our lads gets, you know, taken out like that, I'd have been very upset if that hadn't been given. That was a red. We got away with one there for sure. In terms of the second half, the three goals at the end of the first half have basically killed it off as a contest. QPR, you know, provided lots of huff and puff. Lonergan made, obviously Lonergan made a very good save. It was the first half. Didn't have much to do. Ince coming on for Parker made sense. Parker ran his socks off, played well. That was a little bit of a baffling one, but maybe Slovis just thought, let's give him a little bit of a run of 6 minutes, just to, you know, stretch his legs and what have you. The game was won by then anyway, so it was a safe one. The only down point for me was conceding the goal. It did look a little bit sloppy. But in a way, it's a good thing because it reminds you that when you win, you aren't as good as you think you are. And it'll mean that he'll go back on the training ground, and I'm sure he'll be pissed off. He'll say, we were 3-0 up, played well defensively, we didn't look troubled, and then we fell asleep. And at this level, if we're going to do anything long-term, we have to maintain focus and balance for 90 minutes. And we've been bitten enough times this year from corner kicks, so I'm sure Slavic is going to work on that. But second half, in doubt. I felt that Dan Byrne got away with one there.
Okay, very good there, Giannis. Guys, before I go over the full-time stats, Mike, I just want to share some information with you. I don't know if you've had a chance to see the interview with Jimmy Floyd Hasselbaink after the match, but the reasons why I want to just go to you, because I know that you wanted Fulham to look into him as a potential head coach. And the one thing I'm going to tell you about this, one, he did not want to talk about this whole controversial situation that we're talking about, regardless of if one of us or two of us think it's red or yellow on it. He didn't even want to go there with it. He gave full credit to this victory to Fulham, which I thought was class. I've seen so many of these interviews after matches where the head coach, manager, whatever you want to call him, does not give credit to the other team. Jimmy Floyd Hasselbaink gave full credit to Fulham. So I just want to share that with you because I know that you're hoping Fulham looked into him.
Well, I think to be fair, you know, we were winning 3-0 at the time, so it wasn't a game-changing decision in that way. And we were by far the better side. But, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of... it's good we never got him or Lambert or everyone else. And, you know, we're all happy with Jokanović, absolutely. But I'm willing to say, you know, yeah, during that search when we were struggling to, pick a manager up, I said, yeah, you know, Hasselbaink, why not? And but let's be honest, we all know QPR's a basket case anyway. And, you know, anyone who goes there is going to have a problem. QPR were very poor yesterday, but that's not an excuse. We were very good as well. It's good that he's given us credit. I think it helps that he's friends with Jokanović as well. So, you know, he's not going to get into a war of words or anything like that. But, I would have been quite happy to see him or, any, you know, or a couple of other people who are struggling now. But that's the way the game is, isn't it? You know, you don't know how good a manager is until they've got the job, and or, you know, they find out the problems that they're having. And we're seeing a lot, even in the Premier League, where people have gone in and they're suddenly saying, this is a bigger job than I thought, you know. And let's be fair, it's taken Jukanović half a dozen games to get a win, you know. So were people getting a bit itchy and sort of worried where our win was going to come from? But, you know, I still think, you know, long term he's going to be a decent manager, and he comes across as a decent bloke in all the interviews I've seen him do.
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons why I just wanted to mention it, just because I found it refreshing. I've watched so many of these interviews, and don't get me started on Arsene Wenger after a loss, you know, stuff like that. And you see someone that I agree with you, Mike. I know he's friends with Slavica, so that might have something to do with it, but I think he also comes off as someone that's fairly honest, and I thought it was nice that he gave credit where credit was due. Fulham deserved the victory, and he said it like it really was. It was a Fulham victory, and gave credit where it was due. All right, guys, time for the full-time stats, and I'll be curious your thoughts on that. I think they pretty much back up exactly what's going on here. So here we go on the full-time stats. Possession, Fulham had 60.3% of the possession, 39.7 were to QPR. Total shots were 16-11. On target, Fulham had it over QPR 9-6. Passing accuracy in favor of Fulham, 73-57%. Corners in favor of QPR, 11-5. Key passes in favor of Fulham, 13-8. Crosses in favor of QPR, 26-15. Duels won, this is an interesting stat. Fulham won this battle 65-46. Aerial duels won this, again, another glaring stat, 28-15 in favor of Fulham. Attacking passes, 302-251 in favor of Fulham. And total passes, 486-305 in favor of Fulham. Giannis, I'll start with you. What stands out to you with the overall stats for this match?
I think the aerial battles, because I think we're a smaller team than QPR, so it's good to see that we're starting to win balls in the air. I thought we were pretty good defending the set pieces yesterday in the air, and that was good to see. And I think it's testament to the amount of work that Slavica has done on the training field. He's recognised the importance of defensive commitment, and in a division like this. Unlike the Premier League, really, aerial battles can become key, and we've been outdone enough times this year and last. So, you know, the possession and the passing figures are great, but I think it's also significant to see about how many headers we win in the air. And we've outnumbered them nearly 2-1, so that's very pleasing.
Okay, very good. Mike, over to you.
Giannis. Oh, my thunder there, because I was going to say it was 2-1 in headers as well. But I'm not going to talk about the stats there. You know, considering we did the show during the week, so I thought I'd have a look at something else. And anyone who follows me on Twitter would have seen I posted the amount of touches that O'Hara did and Parker did, and also Kearney as well. So those three midfielders. And you look at O'Hara, he was all over the pitch, left, right, you know, up top, in the middle, covered every blade of grass, for a cliche, really. And I think that shows how hard this team is working now. It's total commitment all over the pitch. And they're working for each other as well, which is, you know, we've had flashes this season where we've played well, got a number of goals. But what we're seeing now, I think, is a major step up from those games. It's, you can see a team that's working for each other and is talking to each other for a change as well. Being so close to the pitch yesterday, you can see them sort of pointing and saying where they want the ball and, you know, go cover him, this kind of thing. So all good at the moment, all good.
Okay. David, over to you. Very, very interesting stats that Mike just shared. What are your thoughts on the overall stats and also what Mike just brought to the table?
Well, obviously on Friday we identified that QPR are quite a long ball team and they win a lot of aerial duels. And we said this is a game we're going to have to win in midfield. And obviously Mike has demonstrated there, I think, that, you know, our midfield work much harder. And it was very interesting actually on Sky, the commentator said that the Fulham three-man midfield was winning everything. And that's, again, one of the arguments I've been having for this 3-5-2, that you have these three central players, you know, and it gives you that extra man there. But, yeah, the work rate obviously was first class. I don't think anyone... You couldn't criticise any players for having an off game, but whether they were your man of the matches or not, people saw the commitment that people like O'Hara and Parker put in. Parker puts his body on the line. He throws himself at the ball to block the ball. You know, you'd think maybe at his age he's thinking about putting his feet up and enjoying, you know, retirement and not wanting to get hurt anymore. But, you know, when he's on the pitch, he's still a great professional. But, you know, we nullified the threats because, you know, we won the aerial battle, you know, by 2-1, as you said. And that was where, you know, potentially they could have been stronger than us. But they weren't. We've done our job. Burn and Amir Bietch, especially at the back, have been, you know, very commanding in the air. And the midfield have outworked them. And, you know, the only thing I would say from the stats, because we've had the first half stats and the final stats, I think you can probably see from the second half stats that things evened up a little bit on shots wise, because we were so far ahead of QPR first half on shots, wasn't it? I think, wasn't it 6 on target to their one?
And yes.
Has it ended 9-6, something like that, did you say?
Correct, 9-6, David, you're right.
So, yeah, we see the brain's still not quite died, even my old age yet, but so I make that second half, they had 5 on target to our 3. So, in fact, you know, things did even up a lot second half. They caused us more trouble. Obviously, we saw the great save. There was 2 great saves from Lonergan, actually.
Yes.
That he made, you know, and that was good. And, of course, they've scored as well, so that was another one on target. I can't remember exactly the other two. Obviously, they were less troublesome shots. But, I think the stats show you that overall... We bossed the game, really. Say the corners were the anomaly, but second half was closer than the first half.
Okay. Very good analysis there, David, showing the differences and showing how QPR did come back in the match in the second half. All right, guys, we're going to go slightly over, but Giannis, I know that you have to leave in a few minutes, so what I'd like to do with you is I want to get your man of the match and then also your thoughts on Slavica.
I'm going to... This was a tough one, actually. But I'm going to give my man of the match to Maddle, because I thought he, for his debut for our club, I thought he was very assured and very composed, and he slotted in beautifully. I thought he had a very, very good game. So I'm expecting him to play on Tuesday night, and I'm looking forward to the game Tuesday, because I think we're going to get 3 points up at the mark. I thought Slavica got it bang on. With the lineup, he got it bang on in terms of the way he was able to switch around the formation. He got it bang on in terms of the preparation, the groundwork to prepare for the game. The only Debbie Downer, I think you could say, is probably the substitution of Heinemann, but that's really minor considering we were 3 goals up. I mean, I'd give him a 9 out of 10. He's you know, he's got the faith of the fans now, and we're beginning to see the picture here. And but it does take time, doesn't it? It really does. You know, the QPR fans were having a good moan and groan yesterday, but they do have a very good manager, and it's a dysfunctional club. We know that, but he's going to be a top class manager one day, and they need to be patient the same way we've been patient. I thought Slavica deserves a 9 and Maddle's my man of the match.
Okay, very good, Giannis. Listen, thank you so much for joining us today. I really appreciate it. Hope you enjoyed it, my friend.
Thank you. I'm actually available on Tuesday night, believe it or not. So,
well,
you mean
tomorrow? Tomorrow for the preview show?
Actually, I am. Yes, because we've got family day up here. Yes, we do. Yeah, we do.
Well, would you like to join David and I for 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time?
Absolutely, and I might even have my cat in the bedroom to keep us company.
Oh, fantastic. Okay. All right, Giannis. Have a good day, my friend. Stay warm.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Okay, that was Giannis Chinaeus. joining us for an hour. Guys, I won't keep us too long, but I wanted to get your thoughts just overall on the individual players. You don't want to rank the players. Just want you to just summarize, you know, give a thoughts on each one of them. And, Mike, I'll start with you because you were there. So let's go through the team and just share a couple sentences on each one of these players. I'm curious your thoughts on them.
Well, Lonergan, I've seen a marked improvement in his distribution in the last couple of weeks. And so pleased with him. Made a couple of good saves as well. So, and it was interesting defending the corners right in front of us. He was being quite vocal for a change. There's been games where he's not really that commanding. And while he hasn't come out and caught the ball, I thought he was organising much more. And I think it's a total change defending corners anyway, where we're actually going to attack the ball and not just being a bit passive. But, Lonergan did really well. Fredericks, good to see him start. And, was running into space. You know, that pace he has is always going to be an asset. I think we're all agreed that defensively there's room for improvement. But it can't be a coincidence that, we go to 3-5-2, he plays and, he gives us that little bit extra going down the wing. Maddle, we've already said, it was a good, solid performance. He's shown signs that he's got something to offer. But having gone overboard on Bodaroff and Hutchinson on their debuts, I'm going to be very reluctant to say he's the new whatever. But
I hear you.
Yeah, so give him a few more games, but very promising. Dan Byrne is just growing every game, and you could argue whether he should have got sent off or not. I thought he won every header. Maybe his passing still letting down a couple of times. There was one early on where he went to pass it to Parker and found a blue and white shirt. But that's Dan Byrne. You're going to get that. But what you're on the flip side, you're going to get him going for these headers and being totally committed. And I thought no one beat him yesterday. And Beretta, again said earlier, showed what he offers. And but then also the dark side with the poor pass back. So he makes me nervous sometimes, but, he's bringing that commitment, which, when you compare it to the other defenders we've had, maybe that is something we have been lacking and you need at this level. So long may it continue that Jokanović gets the best out of him. I'm not going to give LVC any kind of marks or comments. No, he was only on a little bit, had a nice little run, but
sure.
I hope if it's hamstring injury, I hope it's not as severe as last time, and hopefully he'll be back in the team shortly. Garbutt had one of his best games. He's suited to that role, isn't he? And was unlucky with the shot having to be on his right foot, but there were other times when he got down a wing, especially in the second half, and there wasn't really people in the box to get the ball to, which was disappointing. But very good. And he had a hard, I can't remember who their right winger was, but he had a good little battle with him.
Matt
in midfield, Phillips. Yeah, that's it, yeah. And in midfield, Parker, captain, where he played the captain's role. And I've struggled on who man of the match was, but I'm actually going to give it to Parker. So, there's life in the old legs yet, and, for his total commitment at running at people who are kicking the ball from a free kick, you've got to give it to him. And Dave's quite right. He's 35. He rushes off to do the Sky TV after the game. He wants to be looking after himself. But there he is, throwing himself around. So, man of the match, Marie Parker. O'Hara, I said already, thought he had a great game. Was all over the place. Did a few tricks as well, which I know he enjoyed. And his reaction after the game to the Fulham fans was terrific. All fist pumping and everything. But whatever his faults are, you can tell he loves playing football. And he likes it at Fulham. I'm pretty sure about that. And Kearney, he's in that role, isn't he? That pass sums him up. That's what he can do. I still wish sometimes he would run. He gets the ball, and I wish he would actually attack a player. But, you know, continue stopping and playing those passes, and I'm not going to moan. And up front, I've already said, the two guys worked really hard, McCormick and Dembele. And, you know, these are two players who potentially could have left us. Arguably, they shouldn't be playing, you know, if you look at it another way. But they're there, and they're doing their job, and no one can comment about their commitment yesterday actually on the pitch. And, you know, they've scored, and they're one of the best partnerships outside the Premier League, aren't they? Or if not, one of the best partnerships in the country. So can't be argued. Ince and Hyman didn't do an awful lot. Hyman certainly didn't do a lot, but Ince, a couple of tackles, a couple of headers, but no real pluses or minuses from them at all. So, yeah, good. You can't really fault anyone from yesterday, really. So Parker, my man of the match, totally just for his commitment.
Okay, Mike. Before I go over to David and get David's thoughts, it's funny you mentioned Kearney because I want to just talk about him just for a couple more minutes. It's something that I always am looking for with a head coach, to put their players in the best positions to succeed. We've been talking about the 3-5-2. Is it fair to say that where he played in this match is his best place for Fulham Football Club, that Slavisa put him where he should be?
I think we saw in the Derby game, in the second half, he put him in the middle. He's still played to the right yesterday at times, and you know, it would be interesting to see him right behind a front two, so two deeper midfielders, and in a proper behind the strikers role. He's still slightly to the right, but I think it's clear that you know, whereas Kit had him playing wide right, I think Jokanović realises, you know, he's the best passer, or certainly the passer on the floor in the team. And we need to get him in the middle where he's going to cause the biggest problems. So as long as he stays with us, I can see people talk about building a team around McCormick. I think we're going to see a team built around what Kearney can do.
I actually totally agree with that, Mike. That's why I wanted to go back and talk about Kearney, because especially if he stays where he is, and Slavisa's the head coach, I could see him building the team more around Kearney than McCormick. I'm glad that you mentioned that. I was thinking the same thing. Over to you, David. Thoughts on the Fulham team that played QPR?
Well, you know, it's hard to fault anyone, as I say, and as Mike said, everyone put in a good performance. I did actually note, because Mike just reminded me about it, that actually Lonergan's distribution yesterday wasn't as good as it could have been. There was a few times he actually did put the ball out from clearances, but quite a few times, actually, he put the ball out of play. Maybe that's because the QPR pitch is so narrow, Mike, and I'm not sure about that. But, apart from that, obviously, it was, it was a fairly quiet day for Lonergan. He's made a couple of smart saves. Unfortunately, he couldn't do much with the goal. Moving on, Fredericks, I think first half, especially Fredericks, looked a great attacking threat in that right wing back role. You could see when the ball was played inside the full-backs and stuff that he could run onto it. You know, he beat Konchesky, who had a head start on him at one point. A couple of times he's put some really, he's fizzed a really dangerous cross right across goal. This is what we need from him. I think he maybe faded a little bit in the second half. He was a bit tired. It was his first match for a while, but can't criticise. I don't think he made any glaring errors, really. He was quite sharp. There was a few times the ball was played to him, not much space, and he's played great little touches, flicking it round the corner to another Fulham player, almost blindly, actually. I'm not sure if it was luck or judgment, but I was very pleased with his contribution overall. Maddle, likewise, positive debut. Obviously, let's see, you know, get to know what he's like as a player. I'm sure he has his good points and his bad points, and we will find them out over the coming weeks, but a positive start. Seemed to read the game very well. Byrne and Amabieta both dominant in the air. A couple of times, as Mike said, there was a few dodgy clearances from them. Burns giving the ball straight back to them. But that's the only thing I would ever criticise with Dan Byrne. Sometimes his headers or his clearances go just straight back to the opposition when perhaps an easy, better pass would be on. But I don't want to go too much on that. As I say, you can't fault his commitment. Amabia has been, you know, almost a revelation coming back so far, two games in. We know that there's rash tackles and mistakes in there. We've seen it before. Just hope that they don't happen soon, or you know, they're going to be kept to a minimum now. He's going to have a bit more, perhaps, discipline under the new regime. Garbett, certainly he's our best and only contender, really, to play in that left wing-back role, most certainly, and he was used for contributor to the game. As I say, really, I think he should have started. Not sure what was going on there. But it did really well overall. Can't think of anything he did wasn't well. Midfielders, as Mike said, you know, this is what won the game for me, really. The commitment shown by Parker and the energy and commitment as well shown by O'Hara just filtered through the rest of the team. They provided this solid, you know, solid wall almost in front of the defence most of the time, led by example, allowed others to play, and that was their job. I mean, O'Hara was quite creative. Parker mainly just was there to protect, but say it allowed other people to play. So it enabled the people to get forward on the wings. It enabled Kearney to get forward. It enabled the forwards to do what they do. Kearney, certainly somewhere near his best role there. We've seen him playing as one of a midfield two, which hasn't worked for me because he's required to do too much work there. That's not for him. We've seen him playing, as I say, on the flanks, where, again, it is a bit one-dimensional because he's always going to be coming inside, doesn't offer us the width. But this way, we had the width from other sources, and Kearney was able to do what he does. And as I said, because we had the width, not only did he have the outlets in front of him, he had the outlets to either side as well. Because Kearney, I've seen him play that great sort of reverse diagonal inside ball for someone like Fredericks to run onto. So that is definitely his best position, and it showed yesterday. Yes, he could be a bit more direct at times. There are times when he just stops and turns around, and you're urging him to run at the player and take them on. But I can't really fault him. It was a great inside pass there for McCormack's goal. And he was in the right place to follow up when the ball hit the post from Dembele. And that's what you need, someone with a bit of instinct about them to be in the right place. So great for him. Front two, again, both got a goal. What else can you say, really? You know, even if they've done very little else in the rest of the game, they've fulfilled their primary objective, to score goals. But obviously it's more than that, as we know. McCormack's busy. Set up, you know, Dembele really for a goal there, which perhaps Dembele scuffed a little bit when it hit the post, but thankfully, you know, he was there, Kearney, to finish up. But it shows how well they two of them do work together when things go well. And I think they were helped by the fact that they had Kearney somewhere behind them and people offering width as well. So again, they had perhaps more space to work in than, whereas we tend to play so narrow and everything just gets so tight. Because obviously, when our players go narrow and tight, so do the opposition. But I think this we spread QPR out nicely. Obviously, the pitch must be wider than we thought it was, Mike, because we found lots of space. We found lots of space there, didn't we? So, great.
Oh, David.
I couldn't resist. I'm sorry, Mike. So, coming to man of the match, I think it's got to be someone in midfield. And
Who's your man of the match, David?
Yeah, I understand why Mike has gone for Parker. I think in the same way, I'm going to, and I know this is, it's a bit of a broken record, but I'm going to pick my old friend Jamie O'Hara again, because, you know, Mike has demonstrated statistically the amount of effort that O'Hara puts in, and it's, you can see how much he does love playing for Fulham. He's really grasped his chance with both hands, I think. And I know he's had a few games when perhaps things went quiet, but that was also a very unsettled period where we've had changes of managers and changes of players, because he had that settled spell where he played alongside Tunnicliffe for weeks and they knew their roles. Then things changed a bit. And the last couple of games, you know, he's been back into the swing of things, I think. And I thought he was fantastic yesterday, O'Hara. And he did exactly, you know, everything you could ask him. He won the ball, he created, he moved around. You know, he obviously got the assist for the second goal as well. And by him and Parker doing what they did, it allowed Kearney to play. Kearney had all this space to play. So, of course, Kearney's been getting a lot of the plaudits and as man of the match from some people as well. And I've noticed that and I understand that. But I think that's because of the work that the others did that allowed Kearney to do that. So for me, O'Hara, but it's a very close thing. I don't think you could really argue if you pick Parker, O'Hara or Kearney, perhaps McCormack or even one of the central defenders. I think they're all good shouts the way we were yesterday.
You know, it's very interesting, David, because I did my own poll and I'm going to share the results. I'm also going to share the results of the Viva El Phone poll. Mike, before I go to the Viva El Phone poll, how many people voted on it?
Yeah, it was the second highest, and it was about 334 or something.
Wow.
Yeah, it was, oddly enough, the other QPR game was the highest. So, yeah, I mean, when it's on TV, it always gets a higher number of people. But, yeah, that was probably twice as many as you usually get. So, certainly for a home game, anyway. But away games, we usually get about 100 people voting, somewhere between 50 and 100 for an away game, and between 100 and 200 for a home game. So it was quite close up until about the last 50 or so votes, and then Kearney just sneaked ahead.
Yes, as you tweeted out, winner of the Viva El Phone Man of the Match, his second in a row, fifth of the season, was Tom Kearney at 8.83, followed by McCormack, Maddle, Parker, Dembele, Byrne, Larkin, and O'Hara. So that was the order that it went, and I can keep going, but I just wanted to name those. On the Cottage Talk Twitter page, I did my own, and I went back and forth on this, guys, between putting Parker in there, putting O'Hara. I went with O'Hara. I could have very easily gone with Parker, but my four were Tom Kearney, Ross McCormack, Jamie O'Hara, and Maddle. And Tom Kearney won that poll 63%. Ross McCormack came in second with 16%. Michael Maddle came in third at 15%. And Jamie O'Hara came in fourth at 6%. But like I mentioned, I could have very easily put Scott Parker in there. I just don't have five, and I went with those four. So that's where I went. All right, guys, to finish up the show quickly, let's talk about Slavica. Michael, go to you first. Give me a rating for Slavica.
Well, you've got to give him, 9 out of 10. I mean, there was just the subs at the beginning, or subs at the end, which were, questionable. But, and did he start with four at the back, or was it three? Who knows? But, I'm going to give him a 9. Takes a lot to get a 10 from a manager, but... there's still work to do, but we've been saying it for a few weeks now. It's just step by step, be patient. We've seen the team progressing. So looking at the boards, Twitter, forums, speaking to everyone during and after the game as we're coming out, there's a feeling we've got the right man and we've got someone who's actually a manager who can implement on the pitch a style of some kind and not just put out 11 players hoping they get a result. And for me, that's the first time I'm seeing a team play to a system since Roy. And it's taken a few years, but hopefully we've got the right bloke. And I'm full of optimism, even now, for next season. So long may that continue.
I want that to continue, Mike. And it's funny because I remember us having these conversations. What is our style when we were talking about Kit? And there was no definitive style. You could see a style with Slavica. I am hopeful, just like you, that we're heading in the right direction. I think we have the right man, but only time will tell. David, time for you to rate Slavica.
Well, you know me. I'm always very harsh on these things, and I'm very strict. And I think... I agree we have the right man and things are going the right way. But I think we've got a long way to go. I think we can still improve a lot more than we have. But, yesterday was fortunate that we played a team with weaknesses and we exploited that weaknesses and they collapsed and that gave us the game. For me, the negative points about Slavica would be, number one, if we started with a 4-4-2, we don't know which one we started with for sure, but if we started with a 4-4-2, I'd be saying, well, why weren't we starting with a 3-5-2? Because clearly... we saw with the 3-5-2 how well we did against them, so we should have been starting with the 3-5-2. On the other hand, if we did start with a 3-5-2, why on earth did he start with LVC as a left wing back when Garber's a much better choice? So I think whatever way round you look at it, I think he got it wrong at the start, and the injury to LVC actually corrected things, unfortunately for LVC, but fortunately for Fulham and Savica, I think that actually helped. So I think he got it slightly wrong there at the start, but say once you went to 3-5-2, things were right. And then as Mike said as well, and as we've all said, I think the substitution at the end, with, you know, I think we just lost a little bit of shape and a bit of impetus and momentum, especially with when Heinemann came on. It was a bit of a strange position he played in. And just to give away a goal, that's something that, you know, it just rankles a bit and it brings back nasty memories for fans, because, you know, it would have been great to keep a clean sheet. And as they're talking about on the TV, I think we've had two clean sheets all season, something like that. So it was just took the very slightest of glimmer off it for me, but nothing too much. But I'm going to give him 8 out of 10 on that basis that, you know, he got nearly everything right. But there's just that question mark about the initial starting lineup and how LVC was deployed and how things were better after we were forced to make a substitution. You know, he didn't think, oh, shit, I've made a mistake, let's change things tactically. He had to make that change because of injury. And in fact, we were better after the injury, arguably, than we would have been than before that. Obviously, we don't know for sure, but that's, you know, things were really good for us. And just at the end, as I say, maybe an unnecessary substitution or a substitution that wasn't quite thought through enough. But 8 out of 10 for me, which is a good mark, but shows that, as far as I'm concerned, there's still room for improvement for him and for the team.
Okay. Now, listen, it's fair, David. You're entitled to your opinion on Savica and everything that we do. That's why we have a show here. Mike, I'm going to go to you. We have a few minutes. Final thoughts?
Yeah, I've got three little things to say, actually, if you don't mind, Russ.
Go ahead.
Medel, or however we're going to pronounce his name, he was flagged up by the stats people. I wonder what some of the fans think of that, you know, like to know what their comments on that would be. McCormick and Dembele yesterday. I've been very critical of McCormick, you know, when he's captain, not being, you know, encouraging enough. But yesterday, there were so many times when those two linked up or something didn't quite work, which is probably the more important thing. And you saw them give a thumbs up to each other, or, you know, a hand saying sorry or something like that. So for me, that says there's no issue between the two of them and they're working well together. And then finally, you may have seen it on Twitter, but four rows in front of us was Ryan Tunnicliffe. He was sat in the first row of the upper tier. It's raining, it's cold, it's, you know, wet and windy, it's uncomfortable, but there he is supporting the team and, you know, was as enthusiastic as anyone when we scored the goals. And for me, that says a lot about him. But on a day like yesterday, he goes down to watch the lads and not from the main stand or anything like that. So fair play to Ryan Tunnicliffe.
Okay, very interesting final thoughts. I'm glad that you mentioned that about Tunnicliffe. I had seen that on Twitter as well. David, final thoughts?
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see how Tunnicliffe is deployed when he's fit again, because, of course, he, you know, in a way, surprisingly came back into the team. We thought maybe at the start of the season we wouldn't see a lot of him with other people around, but he commanded the place and earned it and kept it. And, of course, he became injured before Jukanovic has been there. So it'd be very interesting to see if Jukanovic is a fan of his and puts him straight back into the team. If so, at whose expense? Or, obviously, you know, what happens from now on. But it is great to see when the, you know, players, you know, come along and support. And we've seen it a few times, other players who've been in the away end. I think Alex Kakanicic has done it a few times, and I can't remember who else, but someone will remind me at some point. But fantastic. It's good to see. And it's pleasing, because it must be difficult for Tunnicliffe, because he spent his whole life in the Manchester area, you know, as a youth trainee with Manchester United, and before he was moved to Fulham. So, you know, it must be hard. I'm sure he's made friends in London. You see a bit of banter and photographs sometimes from players when they go out, and it's good to see. It was good to see, actually, you know, on the same kind of vein, James Husband tweeting, you know, things that, you know, good luck to the boys for the match.
I did see that. I thought that was classy by husband, David.
Yeah, obviously it shows what an affection husband has for Fulham. He's obviously enjoyed his time here and made some friends, and that's hopeful that maybe one day he may come back to us as a player. And you know, there's been some banter between the guys as well, going to, you know, with Ben Pringle going to Ipswich, I should say. There's been a bit of tweeting around there as well. It seems, I forget, have they called him some funny names, Ben Pringle? I think it was Boris Johnson or Donald Trump, I think they call him, because of his blonde hair. I think that's right, anyway, if you know
okay.
who Boris Johnson is. But Boris Johnson,
I do.
He's kind of a larger-than-life character, London mayor, who's probably... He's probably not alike politically completely with Donald Trump, but he shares the same mad kind of blonde hair, if nothing else. But, no, it's good to see when the players do get involved and show their passion, you know, for the club. And I think that's all part of the new regime, really. I think we have a captain to, you know, to steer the rudder again now, and sort of players know where we're going. Even if they're not perhaps in the team at this minute, that they can see some focus and some light at the end of the tunnel, that the club's going in the right direction at last, we hope. I think there's still unanswered questions and wranglings with things upstairs, as shown by, you know, the debate over the stats man and whether he was banished or whether he wasn't banished, and all these other stories about, you know, whether Mike Rigg is useless or not and whether Alistair's useless or not. But in terms of actually the, you know, from Slavisha downwards, I think things are going the right way now, and certainly Saturday's result was that, and let's see what happens now. Two important matches coming up, obviously a difficult trip to Blackburn, and then potentially a very easy match at home to Charlton on the face of it. You know, we've shown that we started to play a bit of football. We seem to be getting better week by week. Charlton have been very, very poor. So, you know, this is Fulham, obviously, we're talking about, but surely a home bank for next Saturday.
I hope so, David. Two very important matches. I couldn't agree with you more. I'm looking forward to the Blackburn match. And then, of course, like you mentioned, against Charlton. And huge matches. If they win both of those matches, we're on our way to a better season. Let's just put it to that way. I think these are two important matches coming up. My final thoughts involve, and I can't believe I started the show with not mentioning this, Happy Valentine's Day. Happy Valentine's Day to everyone. It's freezing here, but it's Valentine's Day. I wish everyone across the world a happy Valentine's Day. It's time to wrap up the show, guys. Fantastic show. You guys were excellent. Giannis was excellent as well. He had to drop off an hour in, but I thought this was a fantastic show. For David, Mike, and Giannis, I'm Russ Goldman. Thank you, as always, for listening to Cottage Talk Extra Time. Cheers, guys. Have a great night.
Cheers, Russ.
Cheers.
Cheers, David.
Cheers. Love and kisses to you all.
Boys and girls.